Prologue, September 8, 2005. Autumn is a glorious season, despite its frequent use as a metaphor for approaching death and dying. Nowhere is its invigorating ambience and riotous color more apparent than in the northeastern United States. Even in early September, the hot, hazy, humid days of the New England summer are progressively replaced by crystalline days with cool, clear, dry air and azure skies. September 8, 2005 was a case in point. Not a cloud marred the translucent sky from Maine to New Jersey, and within the macadam maze of downtown Boston and the concrete grid of New York City, the temperature was a comfortable 77 degrees Fahrenheit. As the day drew to a close, two doctors, coincidentally and reluctantly, fumbled to pull their ringing cell phones from their belt clips in their respective cities. Neither was happy about the intrusion. Each was fearful that the melodic ring would herald a crisis that would require their professional attention and presence. An inopportune interruption, as both individuals were anticipating interesting personal evening activities. Unfortunately, the doctor's intuitions were correct, since both calls were to give credence to Autumn's metaphorical reputation. The call in Boston concerned someone about to die with the acute onset of chest pain, profound weakness, and difficulty breathing, while the one in New York was about someone recently, but clearly already dead. Both situations were emergencies for the respective physicians, necessitating that they put their private plans on hold. What the doctors didn't know was that one of the calls would initiate a sequence of events that would seriously impact them both, put both in jeopardy, and turn them into bitter enemies. And the other call would ultimately put a different spin on the first. Boston, Massachusetts, 7:10 p.m. Dr. Craig Bowman let his arms dangle at his sides for a moment to relieve his aching forearm muscles. He'd been standing in front of the mirror that was attached to the backside of the closet door, struggling to tie a black formal bow tie. He'd worn a tuxedo at most a half a dozen times in his life, the first time at his high school prom and the last time when he got married. And on all of those previous occasions, he'd been satisfied to snap on a pre-tied model that came with the rented tux. But now, in his reincarnation of himself, he wanted the genuine article. He'd bought himself a brand new tuxedo and wasn't about to settle for a fake tie. The trouble was, he really didn't know how to tie it, and had been embarrassed to ask the sales clerk. At the time, he hadn't been worried since he figured it would somehow be similar to tying his shoes. Sadly, it was proving to be a lot different, and he had been attempting to tie the blasted thing for a good 10 minutes. Luckily, Leona, his new and dynamite secretary cum file clerk, an even newer companion, had been preoccupied with her makeup in the bathroom. Worst case, he'd have to ask her if she knew how to do it. Craig really didn't want to do that. They hadn't been seeing each other socially that long, and Craig preferred that she maintain her apparent belief in his sophistication, fearing he'd otherwise never hear the end of it. Leona had what his matronly receptionist secretary and his nurse called a mouth. Tactfulness wasn't her strong suit. Craig shot a quick glance in Leona's direction. The door was ajar to the bathroom, where she was doing her eyes, but all he could see was a side view of her curvaceous 23-year-old derriere covered with a lustrous pink silk crepe. She was on her tiptoes, leaning over the sink to get closer to the mirror. A fleeting, self-satisfied smile passed over Craig's face as he thought of them walking down the aisle of Symphony Hall that evening, which was why they were getting decked out in their finery. Compensating for being a mouth, Leona was a looker, especially in the low-cut dress that they had recently bought at Neiman Marcus. He was sure she was going to turn some heads and that he'd be dodging some envious looks from fellow 45-year-old men. Craig realized such feelings were rather juvenile, to say the least, but he'd not felt them since that first time he'd worn a tuxedo, and he was going to enjoy it. Craig's smile faltered when the question occurred to him whether any of his